Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Kind of float around and try to listen to God, and really it'll be a continuation of what of today, okay? See, He's calling us not just to come into this place. Not visit once a year to the throne room, but to come in and live in a place with Him. That's why He wanted to break condemnation off and self-doubt, because He wants you to know that this is home, not this room, but His room. You know, he said in His word that you're citizens. Can everybody hear me okay? You can hear me in the back. That your citizenship is with Him in heaven. You're actually His kid. And that's your home. And by covenant right, the things of heaven belong to you. And so your lifestyle is to change today. From a lifestyle of wondering and worrying to a lifestyle of saying, I'll receive that. And thank you, Father, that I can come boldly to the throne of grace. See, the throne of grace belonged to you because Jesus died to make an open way forever. See, no one can ever shut the door to you. No one can ever shut the door to you unless you just don't want to go. Come in, He says, come into my arms. Because I want to reveal who you are. I want to take the blinders off, the shades off. And I want to reveal to you who you have been from the foundation of the world. See, I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I brought you in. It was my plan. And I've known your identity, your true, the true you, the real you, for a long, long time. I'd like to introduce you to you. You hear me? I'd like to introduce you to you. But to do that, I need you to come in without reservation, without fear. He says, I'd like every person in this place. Come in and fellowship with me. Not for a moment, but for a lifetime. And I'm going to introduce you to someone. It's called you. And I want to show you the wonders of you, the wonders that I put in you. It's nothing prideful, it's something I have done. Am I too close to the speaker? And I'd like you to get used to hanging around the throne. That it says that Samuel laid down by the ark. See, he made his bed in close proximity to the presence of God. And think who he was. He made his bed in close proximity to the presence of the King of Kings. God says, make your bed close to the ark. says, I'll take you in. And like Samuel, you'll hear the voice of God better. Like Samuel, you'll hear me say your name. Remember, I said, Samuel. And he ran into Eli. What is it? What is it you want? Eli said, I didn't call you. About the third time, Eli figured it out. Oh, it's the Lord. It's the Lord, Samuel. When he calls you again, say, here I am. Here's me. I'm here. And God is speaking that to us, to each of us. It doesn't matter what you're called to. It doesn't matter your performance level. It doesn't matter whether you're good at things or bad at things, new or very old. God would rather have you be good at hanging around the throne than be good at all the do's and don'ts. Do you hear me? He would rather have you hanging out by him, because then all that other stuff gets washed away. Did you see how much stuff he did today? In one day, he washed away some years. Well, that's what it's like at the throne. And he wanted to show you, this isn't just a retreat where you meet with him and get a taste. This is a lifestyle. And his desire, more than any other desire, no, he didn't make Adam to win souls because there was no souls to win. He made Adam because he wanted a son. He wanted a family, someone to hang out with, someone he could call his own, someone he could love, pour his love out on. So he's saying, I want to teach you, he is saying, I want to teach you how to come within my presence without fear. And what that means is no matter what kind of day you have, even if you made a mistake, even if you did a big blunder, even if you have dirt on your face, come in. I can help you. I know you're on your journey. Have you ever had a little toddler or helped a little toddler learn how to walk? They fall down all the time. You don't yell at them. It's a toddler. You expect that. They're learning to walk. And I am the good, good father. The papa, Abba, daddy. And I want you to know that day or night, night or day, if you're far away or very near, I always want you to remember this. For the rest of your life, remember this. I am the father that watched the prodigal son who smelled like pig feces. Dirt, he smelled like sin. He'd wasted his entire inheritance. He'd blown it in every way a person can blow it. But I watched for him to come down that road. Remember that I looked down that road to watch him, and when he came, I ran to meet him. And I never once said to him, where have you been? What did you do with the money? Why'd you do that? Never once did I say it to him. Read this story. Remember this for the rest of your life. Just come home, no matter how far you are, no matter how close you are, come, just come home. And I will always welcome you. I will always say, my son is home. If you need a little bath, I'll give you a bath. If you need clean clothes, I'll give them to you. If you need sandals, I'll always have them. Not once, But 1,000 times. What did I say when they said, how many times do you forgive? 7? No. Not 7, but 70 times 7. And that starts over every morning. My mercy's new every morning. So no matter how badly you think of yourself, remember, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you. And where I want you is with me. And I have the solution to whatever the ailment is, whatever the deliverance is, whatever the habit or the addiction is. You just keep coming. You just keep coming to me. Don't worry about how many times it takes. You know, when I died on the cross, I saw faces of people. And I didn't say, oh no, I'm not dying for that one. That one's too hard. I knew there were some people that would never get set free, but they'd love me. I died for them. I knew there were some people that it would take 20 years for them to get free. I didn't say, oh no, not that one. I said, yeah, I love that one. I love that one. And I'll help them. And if they just stay with me, I'll free them. They just stay with me and don't quit. If you leave with one thing, he says, I want you to leave with a father's heart, knowing, I want you to know this, God loves me. God loves me personally, no matter what. He loves me. I want you to know that deep down, because all the days of your life, if I've called you to one thing, it's to fellowship with me. That's the desire of my heart. So I'm inviting you, he says. Some of you are wonderful worshipers and praisers, but some of you have not yet learned how to soak, where you just lay and receive. Worship is wonderful because that's your giving output. Praise is output. And that's wonderful, and it does my heart good. It makes my ears happy when my children praise. But there's times when I want to pour into you. And I want you to learn how to lay in the presence. Some people like music, some people like just silence. But lay in the presence and let me pour and pour and pour and pour and pour and pour into you. Some of you work so hard, you get depleted. You get depleted. But I'm the well of living water. I'm the ever-living well. And I want to fill you and fill you and fill you and fill you. It's a big deal to me. I want my children very full, saturated, like a sponge. You ever see a sponge that just can't take one more drop and it just leaks on everybody? And that's you. So if you're able, I want you to just relax and receive now. You know, years ago, God taught me how to pull. can't describe it, but it's almost like you open your belly in spirit and you just pull. And when someone's around with a good anointing, you can just pull it out. Someone here, he's saying, I'm going to make a new man out of you. People won't recognize you. Making a new man out of you. You're going to stop apologizing. Stop apologizing for yourself as though something were wrong. Because I'm proud of you. You're my own, my very own. And don't you know? Do you ever see a parent who's just proud of their child? And you think, you know, they're bragging on their kid. Just constantly bragging on their kid. And their kid's really nothing special, but they're special to them. Well, that's how God is about you. You may think, I'm not special, where you are to Him. And He likes to brag on you. He likes to show you off. That's my kid. Not because of your performance. Because you love Him. You're part of Him. You're His own. Some of you will have some encounters with the Lord. But if you do not, it doesn't matter. Know this, His presence is with you always, whether you feel it or not. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Those in here, your life will never be the same. And I saw this shifting of priority, where being with Him became a honeymoon time, and you found yourself no longer interested in certain things anymore. And I'm seeing somebody that football is your, man, it's your favorite thing to watch a football game. There was this sudden just like, you know what, I just want to go hang out with Him. And it says, I'm taking you on a honeymoon. And like once you had some of you in here, you had a honeymoon with Jesus. And it was the most wonderful time of your life. I remember when I had mine, I couldn't wait to get home from work. I worked full time. I couldn't wait to come home and I'd spend hours with Jesus. The honeymoon. We would have the most fun just hanging out, you know. It wasn't I wasn't doing anything for him. I wasn't serving in any way. And we'd have wonderful times together, just hanging out. There were times when it would feel like we're having a picnic in a meadow and he'd have a weed sticking out of his mouth. And I'd ask him childlike questions. How does that work? We'd talk about all kinds of stuff like a little child does with their dad. We'd play together and have fun together. You need to know him as he is. He loves fellowship, and he's not cross. He's not angry. And people say, well, what about judgment? Isn't there judgment? Yes. God has not grown less in judgment. Let me explain this to you, though. The judgment that you deserve and I deserve was poured upon Jesus Christ at the cross. Every time I've ever blown it, which is many, every sin I've ever committed, which is many, every word I've ever said that is wrong, which is many, the judgment of God went upon the cross and fulfilled. The wrath of God against me and against you was fulfilled. That's why it's so important to know about the blood. When Satan comes and points a finger, he says, I understand. I get it. I blew it. You're right. But I'm covered by the blood. Lord, forgive me again and help me get free again, Jesus. See, God wants to take you into a special place where it's just you and him. People have only ever felt the presence in a meeting. And that's good. That's a good start. But God wants you to create a habitation for his presence. Create a habitation for the Spirit of God. Release you. I release you from the thoughts of the way it's supposed to be. The way you've been taught, the religious way or the performing way. I release you in the name of Jesus. I break off the shackles in the spirit and I say, create a habitation for the King. In your heart, in your physical body, in your mind, in your will and emotions, and in your home, your physical home, do little things that he likes. Make way for the King. Home and you're going to turn things upside down for him. And you're not going to care about some of the carnal stuff. You're going to say, yeah, I'd love to talk to you, but I got to go. I'm meeting with somebody. Yeah, I'll go shopping with you another time, but I got a date. You know, you can make your home so fragrant and attractive that he cannot stay away. Did you know it? You can make your heart so fragrant and attractive to the King. He is a bridegroom. And he has a part of him that desires his bride, desires communion and fellowship. habitation. Draw me, he says. Put on your Holy Ghost perfume. You know, purity of heart draws me. A repentant heart draws me. Someone that loves me more than other things draws me. Did you know that anyone can win my heart? Anyone. Will you be my bride? For too long, some of you have worked so hard, tried so hard. You love me so much. I know your heart. You love me. There's those of you in here, you love me more than anything. But it's always played out in performance. And I love that about you, Martha. Sweet Martha, I love that. I love your heart, darling. How kind you are to try to serve me in a way that was so pleasant, Martha. But really, only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the better thing. And my heart yearns for a Mary. I don't love Martha less, but Mary draws me. Because Mary was a woman in love. She wasn't so worried about feeding my belly or feeding my disciples. She was looking at me with eyes of love, listening to my words. Putting me first. There's something about a person that puts me first, I tell you. I can't resist them. I can't resist someone that puts me before others and other things. There's just something about them. Something about that person that I'll go a long way to visit their house. You say, why does so-and-so have visitations? Why does so-and-so always get the anointings? Why does so-and-so? Because they're placing a draw. It's not because they're better in their works. It's not because they know more doctrinally. It's not because they studied harder. But they have that Mary fragrance. There's a Mary anointing in the room. I'm releasing it. If you want to be a Mary and you want to stop being a Martha and stop judging yourself and condemning yourself and measuring how much you worked and did you do enough and was it good enough, I urge you to repent of that. Because what is pleasing to Him is the eyes of love. Someone that will just sit and listen for hours and hours. Just sit and listen and say, I don't even know how. That's okay. I don't expect you to know how. I don't expect you to know how. I'm releasing right now Mary anointing. The anointing of peace. Peace with God. Peace with God once and for all. Independent of your works, goods and bads, yeses and noes, and what everybody thinks and says. I'm releasing the peace of God, peace with God forever. Like it's an invitation to heaven. See, it's always been open to you. Samuel, it's always been open to you, but you just didn't fully understand. But the invitation will be open for the rest of your life. no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. As long as you live on the earth, my darling, my dear, he says, my beloved, my precious one, my door forever is open. I tore it, and it can never be mended. And I want you to know that so deep in you that you never forget it. Thank you, Father. My Lord Jesus. Now we're gonna do some more with immersion. But before we go too much deeper, I feel like we have to take care of some, there's just some things we got to take care of. And once we do it, then we're just going to sail away. You know, I mean, I don't want to interrupt it again. So I'm going to have, do you want to deal with it? Do you want this mic? Okay. Holy. You know, while she's getting ready, if you feel like you want to flip the switch from being Martha to Mary, and I know so there's some Marys in here, and I know, but I feel like it's important to say so. So if you'd like to do that, I'm going to have you say this, okay, with me. And you say, Father, I don't just want to be a servant anymore. You've called me a friend. You've called me your bride. And you've called me your beloved. And from this day forth, help me to value our bride and bridegroom relationship, our Song of Solomon love. Help me value that wonderful time in the bridal chamber together with you. Help me to come to really know you. And help me to understand the importance. Why that's even more important than good works. And I believe that as we fellowship, and as I learn how to receive your love, just as I am, you will actually do better and more works whenever you want, through me. I will fulfill my calling. But it'll be done out of love and relationship instead of works and performance. And right now, sir, I receive your love. I receive that you love me. I accept it. And I will no longer say I don't deserve it. Because you purchased for me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
So, as I mentioned to the men this morning, the Lord kind of speaks to me in military terms most of the time. So, I have a verse that I want to share with you, and you're going to say, well, what does this have to do with taking an offering? This has to do with getting closer to the Father. And one of the ways we get closer to the Father is we don't hold back on what he's asked us to steward for him. So this is the verse. I'm going to read the verse. And then I carry this around with me. And I'm going to walk around and show you the picture. You can see the same visual that I see when I say this verse. The verse is found in Hebrews 6:12 in the Amplified. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patience, endurance, and waiting are now inheriting the promises. I'm going to say that one again. It's kind of long. It's kind of a run-on sentence. But the Lord is asking us to be imitators of those people that are now receiving the promises on a regular basis. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become sluggards, be imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. This verse was given to me, and you can see this is a picture of a KC-135 tanker and an F-16 refueling. It is our job as Christ followers to take our little F-16 and vector over to the tanker. Okay, the Father is the tanker. He supplies everything that we need. And you're the Air Force guy. All right. So what's interesting about this is the tanker doesn't go into the area of trouble. It's real important for the F-16 pilot to vector over to the tanker. So we, as Christ followers, have to make an effort to seek our Father and all the promises that he has for us. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, you absolutely are our source. And it is by your hand that we exist. And everything that we have, Lord, you have given to us that we would steward it. That we would steward it for you and your kingdom and your plans. Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone here may have a new understanding of you, the Father, the sustainer, the protector, the supplier. That it's our job to seek you. It's our job to find you, knowing that when we connect with you, there is an endless supply of your goodness. And we ask this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
So we're gonna kind of continue, but I feel like God wants me to share something. What we do is not special. Now, it is special because it's God, but we are not special people. We are simply an example of somebody that worked with the Holy Spirit until we figured it out. Every believer can have what we have and do what we do. Okay? So I don't want you to leave and go, oh, Holly's a prophet. You know, yes, I am, but so are you. See, in the Old Testament, I just feel like it's important you to know this. There were only certain people that were allowed to really hear from God. It was a special thing. You remember Josiah? Remember the days of Josiah, the young king? The book of the law had been lost, and Israel went into terrible sin because they didn't even know the law anymore. They didn't even know the truth. One day the book of the law was found, and the priest brought it to Josiah, and when he read it, he tore his robes. He said, "We have sinned." Now think about this. The high priest, the secretary of the king, I think, depending which, there's two versions of the story in Kings and Chronicles, and Josiah went out to find hold of the prophetess to see what God was saying. Why couldn't the high priest hear what God was saying? Why couldn't the king? Because in the Old Testament, a prophet had to hear from God. You know, it was special. But the Bible says that in the New Testament, he said, you won't have to go to your neighbor to find out what I'm saying. You get it? Because the prophetic, the spirit realm, is yours. And the only difference between me and you is when I was young, I was blessed, I don't even know why, to fall under a ministry where it was taught and where I said, I'm going after that. And I just want you to know, see, God does, a lot of people come because they want to receive a word or get their healing, and that's wonderful. But God's desire is that you learn a new lifestyle. God wants everyone in the body to know him intimately, know his love, understand the way he talks. What did he say? My sheep hear my voice. You're his sheep. And he wants to work with you. I didn't just wake up one day and hear from God. It took a long time of hanging out and going, how does that work? He had to teach me how to hear the voice of God. There was no prophetic teaching ministries that taught you how to do it in those days. I just wanted to know, and I asked him and he taught me. It took some years. But it's for everyone. He wants you to know that. He wants you to learn that you can be one with him. One. 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 After some years of hearing God's voice, God saved my life. He, every day when I was in the bad times before I knew truth, I wanted to quit, give up, commit suicide, give up, quit. But I knew there was something in my life that was to happen. But one thing happened every day, every day. God would give me one thing, one sentence, one scripture, one vision, something that I'd say, yeah, okay, I can go one more day. But what I didn't know, I just thought God was talking to me, and he was. Somewhere during that time, I came into an understanding. I actually was reading a book, and I became aware that it wasn't just the Father, it wasn't just the Son, it was the Holy Spirit. See, I'd never really understood the Holy Spirit. He was just this ethereal, you know, spirit I didn't know anything about. But I came into the understanding that getting to know him is how it works. See, Jesus said to his disciples, it is better for you that I go away. How could that possibly be better? Wait a minute, we left everything to follow you and you're leaving? What are you talking about better? Because up to that point, if you wanted to find Jesus, if you wanted to hear from God, you had to go physically find him. He did this so that he could release himself into you. Remember, he said in John, he said, he is with you, but he will be in you. They didn't get it yet. They didn't understand it. I'm sure they didn't understand it till after they were filled with the Spirit, because some things are only understood by the Spirit. He didn't just die to forgive your sins. He died to multiply himself so that literally you have God living in you. So if you think about it, the Father is in heaven. Yay. Jesus is seated at his right hand. Who's here with you? Ever living to help you, guide you, and teach you. He's your mentor. He leads and guides into all truth. And he's always pointing the way to Jesus. There's no, he is Jesus in spirit form. They are one. You know, he's called the Spirit of the Father. Do you know that? He's called the Spirit of the Father. Jesus breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, I and my Father are one. He said, have you been with me so long, Philip, and you haven't known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So when he said to receive the Holy Spirit, yes, receive him, receive the baptism, receive all the gifts, all the fruits, receive it all. But here's how I hear that scripture, and this might just be me. Receive him. Receive him. You see, if the Queen of England was going to come to your house on a certain day and time, and the whole entourage was coming, you'd probably put everything on hold to make way, make ready. You'd have all your friends come over and help you clean. You'd try to find the best flowers and the best carpet. And you'd probably feel like, well, my house is not worthy, you know. You might have all kinds of feelings. But you'd do anything. If you heard she specially liked roses, you'd get roses. And what I'm saying to you is, when you learn to receive the Holy Spirit like that and honor him like that, you win the favor of Father. Because the Holy Spirit has so much favor. Jesus said, he who blasphemes the Father will be forgiven. He who blasphemes me will be forgiven. But he who blasphemes the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven. That's how high of value he places on the Holy Spirit. He values him. And when you honor him in your life, you have the favor of God. But to honor him, it means changing some things around. There's some things I won't have in my house ever, never. If I find out God doesn't like something, in the garbage it goes. Some of you have been through what we call the burning phase. You know what I'm talking about? We have things that were unclean. things that were on the edge, maybe occult stuff, maybe a charm necklace that is not pleasing to the Lord. When I first got serious about God, I would so much as touch a piece of clothing and I'd be in the fire that goes. There's a scripture that says hating even the clothing that was defiled by the flesh. What was I doing? I value God more than anything. If he said, I don't like that couch, I don't care. If he said, I don't like that car, out it goes. See, because when we get a heart, I will change anything to make way for you. What we've done is put Jesus first and foremost. It's a lifestyle. You know, sometimes, you know, we deal with people a lot, and I'll be honest, sometimes it can wear on you, you know. Sometimes people are just in the flesh and it can be wearing. But, you know, I've learned that it is pleasing to him. You know, I'm working on loving people. I'm working on loving them. Because it's pleasing to him, because those are his kids. That's his kid. That's like you're babysitting somebody's kid. And you may not love them the way they love them, but you better treat them. You know, you better take care of them. Right? Because they love that kid. And so there's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Once I learned this, you know, the Holy Spirit waits for you to get up in the morning. And he watches sometimes. He hopes you'll ask him, how do I do this? And he watches us push and struggle and plan and figure out and try to fix. And you know what happens? A lot of times people will, you know, work their fleshy plan and it'll fail and it'll take a year. And then finally they'll say, what am I doing wrong? And he's so sweet. He doesn't condemn. He says, here, let me help you with that. Let me show you what to do. But here's the good news. You don't have to wait a year. The trick to victory, the secret to victory, is don't wait 2 seconds. Ask in the beginning. The secret is knowing that you don't have the answer. You're not as smart as you think. The secret is getting a deep, deep, abiding revelation. He knows and I don't. I don't care how much he's taught me on something. And there's some things he's taught me a lot about. When I'm standing next to him, I know nothing. And when I come in with a question, whatever he says is God. We know a wonderful minister, an amazing man of God that has miracles. And he said this statement when he said, the word of God is God. And it went into me like a arrow. And I had to ponder it for a long time. Because it could mean so many things. It means Jesus, yes, he's the Word made flesh, yes. But what he was saying, see, this guy has miracles, honestly, like I've never seen. En masse, miracles en masse, this guy. Because he has made the Word of God, God. And so, he has revelation that if God said it, it is. And so, I'm trying to tell you there's an entire lifestyle, but how we learn it, because we won't always be with you, but how you learn it is sitting at the feet of the Holy Spirit. He is your mentor. And I know some of you have heard this, but when he was teaching me, I had a word of knowledge for this couple. But you know, sometimes if people don't respect you, they don't want to hear your whatevers. And if they don't respect God, you know, and they're going on in their trouble, and it was terrible trouble, and I had this heart of compassion to help them. And I had the word, I knew already what the answer was, but they were in their stew, you know, and, you know, just persuaded that they should just stay in their stew and beg God to help them. And I was like, standing here, you know. And I was laying in bed, and I was weeping for them, and I was sad because I knew I had the answer. Not me, but the Holy Ghost. And I was weeping, and I said, Holy Ghost, I feel so sad. I feel like they're in the kitchen, and I'm looking right at them through the screen door, and they won't come to the door, and they won't let me in, and they won't listen to the answer. And this is what he said to me. That's exactly what my people do to me. They go on in their own plan, in their own stew, because they're too busy to just stop and say, Holy Ghost, what do I do? Or they say it, but they go on and do their plan because they really kind of think they have a better idea. This is the key to victory in every area. And I thought, you know, I didn't know everybody didn't know this, but when I got it, I learned, I don't know anything. That's what I learned. I got a revelation that God knew and I didn't. And I thank God I got that revelation because knowing that makes me able to come before God as a child. A child knows they need to learn. A child knows they don't have it. And they know that God does. And whenever I'm going to God, ask God a question, I make up my mind ahead of time. What he says is true. I don't care what he says. If he says it, that's it. If he says do it, I do it, even if it makes no sense, and sometimes it won't. Abraham, pack up your bags, leave your father's house, leave this land. You do that in those days. In those days, you were mentored under your dad, and you grew up to be what he was. Well, Abraham's dad was an idol maker. And God said, get out of Dodge. And Abraham, okay, and packed his bags. Where are we going? I'll tell you. Go to a land I will show you. Now, most people now would go, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm not going to go till you tell me where to go. But often he's not going to tell you. And you know why? He wants to train you to listen to his voice and to walk in his ways. And so it's something God wants us. It's a different lifestyle. And the person that will mentor you is the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to ask him. I go like a little kid to this day. I don't know what to do. I have no clue how to do this. What do you say about it? The reason we urge people to listen to the teaching is those are not me. Those are me sitting for 40 years at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of the Holy Spirit, saying, I don't get it. How does this happen? I had faith for this and it didn't work. What went wrong? And God teaching me patiently, here's what happened. Here was where the error was. Jesus, why is this person always battling? What's going on? And him teaching me, well, there's an open door, sweetie. That's what it is. That's why we're not trying to push our stuff on you. But we don't think there's a lot of time left. And we want you to learn how to be mentored by the Holy Spirit himself. Not by us, but by him. You know, he even said you have no need that any man should teach you. Now, he graciously gives teachers that are a gift to the body. And thank God, there's teachers in my life that, thank Jesus, have really helped me stay on God's path. And I'm thankful for those gifts. I'm thankful for the offices. But the Holy Spirit, he's the one. And I want you to have a relationship with him. He should become your closest friend. You know, so close that, you know, when I get up at 3 in the morning, you know, or, you know, just to use the facility, I'll say it that way. You know, God's with me. You know, for 2 years, I'd sit down on the side of my bed just getting ready to down. He'd say, is there anything you need? You know why he was doing that? Because for years I was saying, is there anything I can do for you? See, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, so will he also reap. And the measure you use is measured back to you. So if you give him half your life, part of your... See, I don't give God my tithe. I give him... It's all yours. This is yours. Not one penny of that money is my money. It's not... None of it is my money. It's all his money. So when I sit with the Lord to prepare my tithes and offerings, I say, where do you want your money to go? Because it's yours. Everything I have is his. I'm stewarding it. I steward my house. I steward the mortgage payment. I steward the car. But it is not my house, and it is not my car. And therefore, if he says, I want that car, okay, because it's not my car. It's your car. And guess what? You're going to drive me around in some car. So I don't ever have to worry about bills, because if I'm short, excuse me, your house, payments due. Pardon me. And see, when you have that relationship with him, it's a covenant. And he has obligated himself before we were born. You see? But people who are like, well, I'm not giving this to God and I'm not giving. And why are all these things happening to me? Well, because whatsoever man sows, so will he also reap. And you can apply it to everything. If you're crabby with people, people will be crabby with you. If you're telling people their faults, they're going to let you know a few. If you sow your entire life into Jesus Christ, all of heaven is yours. And you get the boldness to say, excuse me, pardon me, your word says. When I used to work in the corporate world and I lost my job because my corporation got bought by a bigger corporation and I got extended, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, we all got the boot. The boot. And I came home, and it was not a big deal to me because I'd contracted for many years and God always got me a job. So I came home and sat in my chair and said, hey, God, Where do you want me to work? You've always gotten me my job, you know. And he said, you're going to work for me. And I thought, that's not funny. And we are not amused. You see, I'd been preaching for a long time. I kind of didn't think that was such a good idea. But I knew God. And I knew his nature. I knew enough his nature. I was like, okay, if he tells me that he's my boss, then he is my source. As Jim said, he's my source. My job was not my source. He's my source. I'm like, then here's what this means. You know what this means. You're like, okay. So we made the deal, right? The covenant, the deal. We made the deal. Some months goes by, and I was doing fine. But one month came, and it was some bills due, and it wasn't sufficient money. And I went and said, excuse me. Let's have a talk. We made a deal. Somebody calls me within 24 hours. I think she even called me the same day, and she said, my uncle passed away, and I received a large inheritance. I have a $6,000 check for you. What's your address? And then I felt bad because I was a little crabby with God. And I went to the Lord and I said, I'm sorry, I was a little crabby about that. And he said, you know, he said, I'd rather have you say it because it was faith, because we did make the deal. But he said, but you don't have to say it in that tone of voice. But he said, but it did need to be spoken. You get it? Because covenant promise is yours, but sometimes God requires you to speak it and be specific in the earth. So God is encouraging everyone here. This is not just to be a great time and wow, you know, a little deliverance, that's awesome. But this is to be an entire lifestyle change. And I know some of you are like, I don't know how to do that. Exactly. We don't. None of us do. When I came to God, I was clueless about how to do anything. I just knew I loved him. And I would read the New Testament, read. And I was just like amazed by him. And I would ask him a question and I didn't hear his voice. I wasn't even baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. I would ask questions and through the word, a scripture would be like, bang. You know, just his voice, but through the word. See, God, if you say, I don't hear from God. Yeah, you do. Read your word. Ask the questions of your heart and be specific. For, you know, if people say he talks to you a lot, yeah, it's because I ask a lot. I'm one of those people that won't go away. I'm not going away. I'm going to bug you, God, until you tell me. So you might as well just tell me. I'm telling the truth. I'm the one that won't go away. And be that one. And ask the questions of your heart and be specific, because God wants you, his Mary, his loved one. He wants you so close with him that people can come to you and say, how did you do that? How did you get that relationship? Or how did you know that? Or how did you, you know, how are you doing? How do you walk in victory all the time? Why is it, you know, because honestly, once you understand the way of victory, I'm not saying that the devil doesn't try stuff, but you can reach a place where you are not subject. You really are not subject to the devil's devices, but now you know it. You know, it says, be not ignorant of the devil's devices. And he can teach you ways where in your sleep, the devil can try to come in your sleep and be like, no, in the name of Jesus, in your sleep, no, it is written, no weapon formed against me will prosper or succeed. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I do hereby condemn. If that's the heritage deserving the Lord, go away. You didn't even wake up to do it. And he's like, ooh, I'm out of here. And that's a relationship. And God is calling you into this same kind of lifestyle of victory. And I'll be honest with you, he wants to show you off. God wants to show off his manifold wisdom through the church. You know, you know what it says? He's showing himself off to principalities and powers. And he's going, neener, 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 look at that one. Look what they just did. Look at that. That's my kid right there. Showing his manifest wisdom. Because see, Satan didn't understand. He was so stupid. If he'd have understood, he'd have never crucified Jesus, because Jesus multiplied himself. And now he has to contend with a whole bunch of us. Now what does he do? So all he can do is try to keep us from understanding how it works and how to walk in that same way. How to walk. See, Jesus said, this is an amazing statement. Talking about himself, the Son of Man. Remember, he always called himself the Son of Man. You know why he did that? I used to wonder, why wouldn't he just say he was the Son of God? Why wouldn't he tell people? Because he was saying, I've limited myself to be like you. I've limited myself to this flesh. And he said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. What? You're the Son of God. At a whim, you can do anything. He said, no. He said, I've limited myself to be exactly like you. But, he said, I do what I see my Father in heaven doing. He wasn't saying, look at me, I'm the Son of God. He was saying, here's the key. Here's how you do it. Now you go do it. You can't do anything in your flesh either. Get the revelation. In my flesh dwells no good thing. I got nothing to offer. You know, Paul knew it. But also get the revelation, he can do anything through me, and I will not limit him.